the FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Welcome along to the FWA podcast once again. We're with one of the leading football writers in the country to discuss all the big news this week and have a look forward to the Premier League weekend. Delighted to say that football writer with the Sunday People, Chris Davies, is with us today. You well, Chris?
I am indeed. Just looking forward to another great weekend of Premier League action.
Yes, suddenly with the midweek fixtures, it suddenly feels like Christmas is fast approaching. We'll have a look back at the midweek and just to touch on some of the big teams who seem to be coming back to form. But just wanted to talk to you first of all about Sergio Aguero. I was at the William Hill sponsored FSF Awards on Monday when he won the Player of the Year. So supporters have voted him Player of the Year from all the clubs. Well deserved. They won the title last year. Probably wasn't his best season last year, but he's certainly making up for it this time round, Chris. He's in unbelievable form at the moment, and of course he's right at the top of that tree of goals per games ratio. He's the best striker that's ever been in the Premier League at that. Could he become the all-time best Premier League striker if he stays for a few years?
He's certainly got a long way to go to overtake Alan Shearer, who is numerically the Premier League's best striker. I have to say that I think my favourite striker I've ever seen in the Premier League is Thierry Henry. I think he had such class, grace and everything. The difference between Thierry Henry and Sergio Aguero is that Sergio Aguero is basically just a goal scorer. And when I say just, that is in inverted commas, of course. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't run 40, 50 yards with the ball and do some of the things, take free kicks or whatever, in the way that Thierry Henry did. But as an out-and-out goal scorer, I think he is as good as we have seen. He's like a Gerd Müller. Older listeners will remember him, the bomber, the great Bayern Munich and West Germany striker. But he's got 19 this season already. And if there is a worry for Pellegrini, and it's quite a nice worry, is that he does score a very, very high percentage of their goals. There may be no such thing as a one-man team, but he is almost a one-man attack. If you stop Aguero, you stop Manchester City. But I think that's rather like trying to stop the tide from coming in.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, he's a favourite, not surprisingly, to be the top goal scorer in the Premier League with William Hill. He's odds on now. He was even money before before the midweek. 4-6 now with his 14 goals. Costa next in the betting with 11 goals, 7-4. Alexis Sanchez, 11-1, and he's got 9 goals so far in the Premier League. Then you get a big jump up.
But it's interesting that in terms of the calendar year for 2014, he has got 18 Premier League goals and he ties with Wilfred Bony.
Yeah.
I think that's more because last season Aguero had a few injuries. We saw that with Man City. And he never quite hit the real high spots in Brazil with Argentina at the World Cup, did he? I think the difference is now he's 100% fully fit. One of the differences is with Chelsea and Man City, I think that Chelsea can survive without Costa, as we saw against Tottenham on Wednesday evening. But I'm not quite sure whether Edin Dzeko or whoever may come in is as good a replacement for Aguero.
No, that's a very, very fair point. I mentioned the midweek fixtures. I don't know if you sense this as well, but with Liverpool's win over Leicester and the win before that, you know, Brendan Rodgers is saying that he's starting to feel that edge returning to them. Manchester United are kind of like doing what Manchester United have always done, which is winning games, even if they're not especially playing brilliant football. Arsenal now keeping clean sheets and winning games. Maybe a little fortunate to beat Southampton, but the win came anyway. And of course, Man City just seem to have kicked on since the win over Bayern Munich. It really seems to have given them a push. You know, Chelsea look like they've got a title wrapped up already, which is a dangerous thing to say. 6 points clear of City. Do you sense that some of those big clubs are starting to come to a little bit of form now? We might see them starting to close the gap a tiny bit over Christmas.
Yes, I do. I think without playing outstanding football, I think Manchester United and Arsenal, who are still prone defensively. But what I find fascinating in this season's Premier League is that I think it's a two-horse race. I don't think that Manchester United, Southampton, West Ham, Arsenal or Liverpool can really, really dig in and rival Chelsea versus Manchester City. But who would have thought in August that third and fourth place would be open to something like six or seven clubs? I mean, at the bottom, I think it's something like 6 points cover the bottom nine clubs. We're going to have at least one six-pointer every week now. I think it's too early to call them relegation battles. And Manchester United are fourth. They're 5 points ahead of Spurs, who are 10th. And seven clubs are covered by so few points at the top and bottom. It is an intriguing, absolutely exciting. If Chelsea and Manchester City are running away with it, the rest of the pack are involved in a real, real battle. At the moment, I wouldn't like to say who's going to finish third and fourth, but you look at Manchester United, you look at Arsenal. The problem with Arsenal is they tend to disappoint when they play the big clubs, and they're going to have to do that. But I think Man United, certainly Van Gaal, is getting the team to play the way he wants. If only he could get an injury list that only has about one or two players on it instead of more players injured than playing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously Chelsea and Manchester City are very, very short to finish in the top four. Manchester United are the third favourites now, 4-11. Arsenal are 2-5 to finish in the top four. Then you got Liverpool at 11-4. I mean, it seems a lot for them to achieve top four status this year, Liverpool, doesn't it? Well, that price might tempt a few people if they can get Sturridge back playing.
Yeah, they need to get Sturridge back playing because obviously losing Sturridge and Suarez. And I think with Suarez, they didn't just lose his goals. I think they lost the inspiration, the figurehead. While Stevie G is a great leader and a captain, I think that having Suarez there gave that team what Roy Keane gave Manchester United or what Vieira gave to Arsenal. Not in a physical sense, but you just look at him and you think, yeah, he will score. And he always does. It's like Aguero. He will score. The problem that Liverpool have got is trying to get the players who Brendan Rodgers bought last summer playing in the form that made him buy them last summer. Because at the moment, very few of them are actually making the first team.
The Premier League weekend is going to be fast upon us. All starts off with Newcastle versus Chelsea. Newcastle 5-1, 3-1 the draw, 8-15 Chelsea. Of course, Newcastle, they stumbled a little bit and that winning run has ended, but the home winning run is still there. Won the last three by 1-0. Not often they'll want to emulate what their neighbours Sunderland have done, but this weekend they wouldn't mind it, would they? You can see the game plan. They'll shut up shop and try and keep Chelsea at bay. Do you think they can do what Sunderland did?
Well, this is at the same time probably the best bet and the worst bet of the weekend, because Newcastle, a home team, being 5-1 in the Premier League with William Hills, it's a very, very good bet. The bad news is they're playing Chelsea, and Chelsea odds on are still even, in the way they're playing, quite a good bet. At the moment, Chelsea really look like even drawing, let alone losing. And they drew at Sunderland a couple of weeks ago. And it was almost shock, horror, hold the back page news, wasn't it? I just think that at the moment, Jose Mourinho's got them on such a run. And there's such confidence there. And they can play without Costa. They can play without just about anybody. And somebody else comes in. They've got the deepest squad and the best squad in the Premier League by a long, long way. But as you said, Newcastle at home, if they can get an early goal, they get the Toon Army behind them. I think this is going to be an absolutely fascinating game. And it's one of those I wouldn't necessarily like. I'd like to put money on Newcastle winning because at 5-1, they're a good bet. But I also like to put money on Chelsea to win because they usually do.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. The evening kickoff is Man City versus Everton. Man City 11-20, so almost 2-1 on. 14-5 the draw. Everton 11-2. Everton have struggled with the backlog of games, if you like, the midweek and then the weekend games. And they've had to do the same again. I mean, since the Europa League, they've obviously been to White Hart Lane. They had the home game in midweek and now they travel to Man City. They just don't look like they can quite cope with the demands, do they, Everton?
No, I think they've got one or two, and they have had one or two long-term injuries that haven't necessarily helped them. One or two players seem to be suffering from perhaps a World Cup hangover. I think the 1-1 draw against Hull City at Goodison Park on Wednesday would have really, really disappointed Roberto Martinez. They're the sort of games, if they're going to push on into I think they're in the bottom half of the table at the moment, they're in 11th place. If they're going to push on and even get within touching distance of a Europa League place, again this season, that's the sort of game they've got to win. I think this is a pretty good home banker for Manchester City. I know it's a sort of a local derby up in the northwest, but I see Man City at the moment, the way they're playing, and of course with Aguero in the sort of form that he is, I think this is going to be a very difficult evening for Everton at the Etihad.
The two games on Sunday that are on the TV, West Ham Swansea and Aston Villa versus Leicester, but maybe not the best fair in the world, but the Hammers and Swansea, very close together in terms of the start of the season they've had, where they are on the table, what their aspirations probably are. 7-5 West Ham, 2-1 Swansea, 11-5 the draw. Is the draw probably the most likely outcome here, do you think, Chris?
West Ham have been playing very, very well. Well, they've been playing very well away, but certainly very well at home. Who would have thought, again, at the start of the season, that as the second third of the season, if you like, is underway, that West Ham v Swansea would be fifth versus seventh. I mean, a big fan, you would know this, Lee, but he would have been one of the early favourites to lose his job. Gary Monk, there was a question mark over him. But Swansea have played very, very well. Okay, one or two of their recent results have not been quite as Gary Monk would have liked. But to have something like 22 points in the bag after 14 matches, and for West Ham to have 24, I mean, I think West Ham fans and even Swansea fans would have been looking at the massive, the mythical 40-point barrier for safety. But now, Big Sam, I know he's joking when he says, yeah, why not the Champions League place? Well, now, fifth, only 1 point behind Manchester United. He's bought very, very well in the summer. He's loaned very well. Alex Song from Barcelona looks double the player he was at Arsenal. I see this as a home win, and I think West Ham are really going to push on. It wouldn't surprise me if they got a European place this season.
The other game is Aston Villa at home to Leicester. To be fair to Paul Lambert, he's dragged them kicking and screaming from that terrible run into a couple of draws and then a win. Leicester, well, how Nigel Pearson would love that. I mean, they don't seem to be able to buy a result at the moment, do they? And arguing with the fans in the crowd and all the rest of it. He's under a bit of pressure now, Nigel Pearson. It often happens to the managers who do so well to bring their teams up. It's about this sort of time that the question marks start to be raised unfairly.
I saw Leicester lose 3-2 at Queen's Park Rangers last Saturday, and they didn't play bad. It was a very, very good game. In Cambiasso, they have an excellent playmaker. I thought he was a terrific player. But they made so many elementary errors, like not tracking the runners and defending poorly. And I think at the moment, he just wants to get a result, whether the goal goes in from someone's backside or it hits three players on the way, hits the post and goes over. But at the moment, they can't, as you say, they can't buy a win. Aston Villa, I won't say they've turned the corner, but they are slowly turning the corner. They're in 12th place. All right, OK, that's only 4 points above the relegation zone, but it's a lot better than being bottom as Leicester are. I see Villa winning this one. I don't think it's going to be a feast of football. I don't think it's one where the highlight tape is going to be more than about 5 minutes long. I don't think that would bother Paul Lambert if, as I suspect, Aston Villa do chalk up another victory.
Monday night, the last TV game of the extended weekend is Southampton versus Manchester United. There were odds flying around before the first of these three tough games that Southampton wouldn't pick a point up in these three matches. That was 7-1. Now they're at home to Manchester United and a 9-5 to win this game. United 13-8. The draw 21-10, probably well beaten by City. Unlucky to lose against Arsenal once they lost their man and didn't have any subs to bring on. What do you make of Southampton at home to Manchester United, Chris?
Can I have those 7-1 odds backdated, please? at the moment, it's third versus fourth, although by the time that the game is played, it could very well not be third versus fourth. Listen, I think Ronald Koeman has done a terrific job there. He's bought very well. And if they've lost the last couple of games to more traditional powerhouses and heavyweights of the Barclays Premier League, then I don't think that should be too much of an X in their box. I think Manchester United at the moment, the way they're playing, they can get a result just about anywhere. I'm going to go, if I'm going to put any money on this, I would have a humble fiver on a draw. I think it would be a very good game, and I think that Southampton at the moment, I think the fans are still behind them. The fans believe in the manager, they believe in the team, and I think that Pelé has got to start scoring again. I think once he gets the team down there, they've had a bit of a time, they'll have a bit extra time to prepare for this game. I find this a fascinating one. Monday night, I should be watching that. But I think a draw could be the one where I will put my humble little fiver.
The other games this weekend, all 3 o'clock kickoffs: Stoke Arsenal, Tottenham Palace, Hull West Brom, Liverpool Sunderland, and QPR versus Burnley on Saturday afternoon.
That's the one I should be at. Chris Wild Rangers versus Burnley.
Yeah, should be a good game, that one, actually. Yeah, and Burnley's starting to turn the corner themselves a touch, aren't they? We ask all of your colleagues from the FWA for a bet of the week. Chris, is there one result that stands out to you, or one bet that stands out to you?
I think if I was going to have a bet, and I probably wouldn't win too much money if I was going to put a bet on it, I would say Manchester City to beat Everton at home on the 5:30 match on Saturday evening.
Yeah, there's it's 11-20 that one, but this does look a good bet the way things are going. Obviously, you can kind of include in that Man City to win and three or more goals in the match and all the rest of it. There's a few prices in there the way they're scoring goals and the way.
I think Manchester City to win and Aguero to score the first goal would be a good double. You probably wouldn't get too much above evens. I don't know for that, but still, I think it's a fairly safe bet.
Yeah, Manchester City to win and Aguero to score first is 19-5, so it's just under 4-1. Not bad, that, is it?
As soon as I finish this, I'm on my way to William Hills.
Chris, thanks very much for your time.
Take care. Bye bye then.
Thank you very much to Chris there. Chris Davis, who writes for the Sunday People, also a member of the FWA National Committee as well. So make sure you check out his work and check out the FWA website. If you go there, you'll find this podcast on the podcast pages. You can also listen to it at williamhill.com/podcasts. It's on Audio Boom, and you can go to iTunes and subscribe via there. You'll get all our football podcasts delivered straight to your phone, your tablet, or your PC. If you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.